You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back. Second hour. Going to be hard to beat the first hour tonight with a guy like Paul Craig Roberts. Let me tell you something, folks.
It's a real deal.
January here on TPC, the way we have kicked off 2023 has been lit. You go back to the first, and it's been exactly what I wanted. Even really going back to the New Year's Eve broadcast, the last show of 2022, when we had so many program mainstays, Kevin McDonald, Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, and others. Blending the regulars with the kind of people that only appear on this program. It's just been a wonderful synthesis this first month of the new year, and it's all gone according to my vision, you know, what I wanted my vision to be for this year. So go back to the first week of this year, Jason Kessler, Chris Cantwell, and then our good friend Harry Cooper, who provided us with all of those great fundraising incentives for the Christmas fundraising drive. Second week, former United States Representative Steve King, former Republican nominee for United States Senate Lauren Witzke. Talked to her today again, by the way. And that was the second week. Last week, Sasha Rossmuller, a journalist in Germany for a magazine that's on newsstands there in that country. Also, Jim Lancia, the retired police officer, Jim Lancia, who just really knocked it out of the park. If you didn't listen to the second hour of last week's program with Jim Lancia, do yourself a favor and go to the broadcast archives. And now tonight, Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. That's the United States Treasury, okay? Yeah, right. And
Not the department store.
Associate editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal, university professor at all of these renowned universities. This is the big guest at a big get. And, of course, we've known Craig for a while. He's been on before. He was really lively tonight, probably his best appearance on this program.
Well, I first became aware of him when I read his article about WHAMs, white heterosexual able-bodied males.
He didn't back away from the racial issue or the other question.
I mean, he's strong as Garrett Snuff. He is, as my late wife's maternal grandfather used to say, he will call a spade a dirty shovel. Now, what he taught, I've been following him throughout the Ukraine-Russian war. And he is not afraid to tell you exactly what he thinks. And if you want something other than this foolish official narrative that tells you that we're just winning, we're winning so much we're getting tired of it, as Trump said. That's not what's happening.
That never happened in my lifetime.
And see, he's talking about the Wolfowitz Doctrine. My goodness, the Wolfowitz Doctrine, that was Paul Wolfowitz, who was part of the Clinton State Department. That dates from the mid-90s under the Clinton administration. That was the reason they got rid of Mubarak, they got rid of Gaddafi, they tried to get rid of Assad. All of these, brush fires in the Middle East were part of it, but apparently they intend to keep Russia down. They don't want Russia to reemerge as a regional superpower. That's why they're fighting this war. That's why they are trying to advance NATO up to the very boundaries of Russia. And that's why Putin is objecting to this, because Mikhail Gorbachev was told by George H.W. Bush that we were going to disband NATO, just like Russia disbanded their version of NATO, the Warsaw Pact. But apparently, they were lying through their teeth, or at least by the time that Clinton got in, and Wolfowitz and Douglas Feith and Martin Ledeen and people like this, these Jewish neocons in the Clinton State Department got in there, all bets were off. They had this planned. And I really think that the Jewish power and influence group intends to be in charge of one world government. The American government may think they're going to be in charge of it, but I think they're going to be sadly mistaken. Now, we've got so much going on in the Middle East as well. You know, Iran is very close to having a nuclear bomb now. They could get involved in this. Russia could step in at any time and attack and invade Taiwan. Where are we going to go for that? You know, where's that? We just paid $100 billion to Ukraine to try to beef up their military. I think our people, our government knows that our military just won't be up to the task of taking on anybody, the Russians, the Chinese, or even the Iranians, with all of these soy boys and lesbian soldiers that we have. You know, there's no, we're not projecting power or fear against any competitors in the world now because of woke politics.
You know, I gotta,
this thing looks like it's headed, you know, and like you said, they will not give up. They, you know, they will not accept defeat, and that's where the real risk is. It's, he's saying that he thinks it might be America that pushes the red button when the Russians whip the Ukrainians and NATO in the Ukraine.
Well, I really enjoyed his take and his predictions, and I hope that they come to fruition. But I got to ask you, you just listen to a guy like Craig Roberts, and you see how serious he is. I mean, he just has that demeanor of stateliness and of seriousness and of a guy that you would want in positions of authority.
Also is
that's
honest.
A, that's a guy you know, honest to a fault, probably. But honest, that's the guy you want as the associate editor of the Wall Street Journal. That's the guy that you want in a top-level position.
That's the type of guy we should have is the Secretary of State rather than the Jewish Anthony Blinken.
That's right. A guy that you want at a top-level position in a presidential administration. A guy that you want leading the faculty of universities. He's been all of that in his life. You listen to Craig Roberts. How much more, you know, why aren't people like this being, I mean, this is a rhetorical question, obviously, but why don't we have people like this leading us? Why is it always the bottom of the dresser's drawer instead of the top?
Well, it's like, I forget who it was that said it.
I mean, we had people like this leading the government, you know, in the government as recently as the 80s.
Well, I think it was somebody between World War I and World War II era said that what all the experts said was going to happen isn't materializing, and what all the damn fools said is coming to pass. See, you can count him and us among the damn fools. That's what they would say we are.
Yeah, but you know what?
But, you know, this is what is actually happening. This is what is, you're getting an unbiased take from a foreign policy expert in Paul Craig Roberts.
And he got his doctorate in economics, but truly, I mean, he is an expert on all of these things, and you can read his thoughts on a variety of topics. I mean, foreign policy is just one of the many things that he opines about at paulcraigroberts.org, but it was, how much did you enjoy the interview? I mean, I enjoyed listening to
it. I loved it. And see, the thing is, he said that, you know, he doesn't absolve Putin of any blame for this.
He says Putin should have been more aggressive. He should have gone in.
He should have gone
for the jugular.
He
said he should have gone for the jugular in 2014, short of that at the onset of the hostilities last year, and that he's made a tremendous blunder by not doing that because it's given NATO, which is basically Washington,
false hope, basically.
Washington, the ability to plot against him.
Well, they're reporting it as if they're winning things hands down, and that's not happening, I guarantee you. And what's happening, actually, is that Russia could have ended this thing very easily, but they didn't because of the restraint that Putin demonstrated. And now they've built up this image for the world that America and NATO are winning. And when that doesn't come to pass, there are going to be some angry people in Washington.
We got to take a quick break. We're going to move from this to a variety of topics this hour. Variety of news headlines we want to cover with you. We're going to get to those next, and then another guest making a debut appearance in the third hour. Stay tuned for it all.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
This is a battle. a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
All right, everybody. I wanted to give Keith one segment here at the top of the second hour to sort of recap the Paul Craig Roberts interview from the first hour. What an interview. What a guest. He was and is. And
probably the most informed person who is not a mouthpiece for the administration here in NATO and America to tell us what's actually going on. He writes about this every week.
That's the thing, Keith. I saw where just last week America had sent the 30 tanks. He says that's just window dressing, but I was like, we need to cover this. We need to have somebody
100 Leopard tanks, too. That's not going to change the balance of power on the battlefield.
Well, in any event, I it was just that because of this escalation, I thought we should have somebody on who could speak knowledgeably about the geopolitical situation.
And also and then about the risk of nuclear war. That is
all of that. Well, and he writes about that. And I was thinking, well, Paul Craig Roberts is the obvious choice, and thankfully he agreed to the appearance. And so there we were. Now, we got a lot of things we want to cover with you this hour, a lot of news items. We're going to try to cover them as quickly as possible so we can cover as many of them as possible. And I know there's one you want us to talk about tonight. It's the racial unrest in Memphis as a result of the Tyree Nichols incident. And, yes, we did talk about that last week with Jim Lancia, the retired police officer Jim Lancia. If you missed last week's second hour with Jim Lancia, you got to go back and listen to it. It was one of our best, just of the young year, obviously, but it was very, very, very good.
Real people real life experience,
right?
Like Paul Craig Roberts or Jim Lancia, and they can really, when they hit the nail on the head, they drive it straight.
Steve King, all of these guys. But anyway, we want to cover a variety of topics with you this hour, so let's cover them as quick as we can. Keith, can you put on your fast-paced hat?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Story out of Portland, Oregon. Now, there was racial unrest all across the country last night as a result of Tyree Nichols, the incident, and we'll get to that at the latter part of this hour. But first, in Portland, an unrelated incident. So a black woman drives up to a gas station in Portland, Oregon. Now, in Oregon, and I've been there, and it's like some of these other states. Maine is another one. You don't pump your own gas. An attendant comes out and pumps the gas for you. That's the
way. James is a diehard fan of the Portland Trailblazers, and that's why he was in Oregon.
Or to visit friends, but either one. But I was there, and I've been in Maine. There's some other states that do this. You don't pump your own gas in these states. Now, in the South, you pump your own gas. But here you wait for an attendant. Well, a black woman pulled up, gas station, had 4 tanks. The other 3 are occupied. The attendant is servicing the other 3. She didn't get serviced as quickly as she thought that she should have. So she sued the gas station for racial discrimination, of course. And jury verdict came back this week. $1 million she was damaged because she didn't get her gas pumped as quickly as she thought. That's $1 million, Mr. Gas Station Owner. Guess what? You're bankrupt and out of business. Now, she said that the white Portland Oregonian told her that he wasn't going to pump her gas because she was black. There is no evidence of this whatsoever. It's her word against his. No evidence whatsoever. There was a video camera that showed the attendant servicing some vehicles that were there before her, but there's no audio. So we'll take her word for it. I guess that's what the jury did. $1 million, Keith. Listen, not only can you not live with certain people because of their propensity for violence, now if you don't service them in the manner and the speediness that they believe that they deserve, you could be put out of business on a whim. $1 million because she didn't get her gas pumped as quickly as she thought. Supposedly the guy said something, but there's no evidence of it. $1 million, maybe a free tank of gas and an apology, but $1 million, you're out of business forever. What is this?
It's lawfare. That's what you call it. It was a technique for fighting the status quo that was developed by Jewish power and influence in the American Civil Rights Movement. The premier case of all time was Brown versus Topeka Board of Education. But they use the legal system like they did against the defendants in Charlottesville and whatnot. They money whip you. Also, they get people, they pick where they want to bring the suits to get the most favorable venue possible. And all of these old ideas that we had, these venerable institutions like trial by jury, that's part of our Anglo-Saxon heritage. As we lose an Anglo-Saxon majority in America, you'll find that the jury system breaks down. For example, you're always hearing about runaway juries, insurance companies talking about this. The one thing they won't tell you is that the runaway juries are always in venues, counties, that have a majority minority population. That's where they do it. That's what has probably happened here.
Let me say this. I'm reading the article now from the Oregonian newspaper. That's the daily there in Portland. And the headline reads, jury awards $1 million to Portland woman who tried to buy gas but told, I don't serve black people. Now, they say that's the headline, as if it's a stated fact. In the article itself, it says that that's what the lawsuit claims, but that there's no evidence for it, but they're going to report it as fact anyway because a black woman said it. And, okay, so it says here, and they mentioned that the woman's name is black with a capital B, and the attendant, who is white, that's with a lowercase w, of course. She said that after she received the $1 million verdict, she said, it's humiliating. I feel like a slave without chains. I'd love to be a slave with $1 million.
Where do I sign up for my $1 million worth of slavery?
Can't even prove. But listen, I mean, how do you service people where if they feel as though they have been encumbered, they can sue you and put you out of business, and you got $1 million judgment against you? How do you live in a society with people like that?
Well, you know that song.
Whether it's real,
feelings.
Or imagined, real or imagined. We don't know that this was true. She said it was true. We don't know. There's no evidence.
That is proof. That is legal proof. But anybody with any sense would realize that if that is unsubstantiated.
Well, the guy said he didn't say it. So,
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. See, the jury could have gone one way or another.
Well, they're not going to go against the black woman.
And like people in Oregon, these nutsoid leftists are basically destroying America.
It's like I said on CNN.
Our institutions.
It's like I said on CNN. All these people need to spend a week in South Memphis. And then they'll get a PhD in race relations.
And talking about Memphis.
We're going to get to that. Now, I'll get a bit of good news. I'm not going to tell you where the city is, but one of our listeners sent this in. There is a city, pretty big city, that took its Confederate monument down from the town square during the St. George Floyd frenzy. But now they're voting to put it back up. I'm not going to tell you where that is, but I'm telling you that it's happening. So there's always a silver lining. Now,
well, see, that the reason they can take those things down in places like Memphis and in Richmond is because of white flight brought about by the Civil Rights Movement and the integration of public
education.
But
in smaller places like Corinth, Mississippi, well, guess what's still there in front of the courthouse? The Confederate monument, of course.
Well, that's why we should never have moved. We should have stayed where we were.
If it were like you, Keith, and we want to get murdered like that Eliza Fletcher did, running down your street, I might add.
Well, you see, I'm still there. And as they said on the bumper on the license plate they used to have on cars down the South, ain't scared.
That's right. First with the most. That's Keith every time. Well, hey, listen, you know, we love Lauren Witzke. You know Lauren? She was on with us a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Regular on this show, actually. Well, after we encouraged her to run again a couple of weeks ago.
She has given it a second thought.
Well, there was a Newsweek article. Let me find it. It's on my Twitter, at James Edwards TPC. This is Lauren Witzke, the former Republican nominee for United States Senate out of the state of Delaware. Where is she? There's Craig Roberts. There's that. There's that. There you are, Lauren. All right. So, V-Dare, our good friend Peter Brimelow, once again put this out. Newsweek is horrified that Lauren Witzke may run for Senate again in 2024 because she appeals to the white vote. That's how she got nominated in 2020, running on total immigration moratorium now. And so Lauren is considering running again for a different race and running against the guy who admitted to slapping his wife around a few years ago. And she said her campaign slogan is going to be, "This woman hits back." Now, we talked to Lauren a couple of weeks ago. I was actually texting her today and last night but about this article and today about the situation in Memphis, which we're going to get to in the next segment. But in any event, I am consistent. People say, well, how are you consistent, James? You said Hillary Clinton shouldn't run for office because a woman shouldn't be the head of a household, much less the president. How can you endorse Lauren Witzke for Senate? Well, I'll tell you, because I judge every issue and every instance against the question, is it good for my people? I wouldn't have given women the suffrage. I wouldn't have given them the franchise because it led to other people getting the franchise that are certainly against our interest and the interest of my family and the interest of my own well-being. Short of that, in this particular instance, if Lauren Witzke, who has more guts than most men I know, that's for sure, she is a pistol. If Lauren Witzke can run and win, I'm all for women running and winning. So that's the consistency. Is it good for our people? Generally, no. In her case, yes. That's why I'm for it and against it in the other instances. It's good for our people. It's good for our people that she runs, and I pray God she wins. She's great. We'll be back. We'll be back. We're going to talk about Memphis when we come back. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barnash. Former President Donald Trump has his sights set on 2024 with a pair of stump speeches.
Starting Saturday off in New Hampshire, former President Trump provided the keynote address for the annual meeting of New Hampshire Republicans.
Everyone in this room shares the one key mission. We're going to defeat Joe Biden and the radical Democrats. These are radical left people. I think in many cases they're Marxists and communists.
Where he also made them a big promise.
I stand before you today and make this solemn pledge. When I'm back in the White House, I will ensure that New Hampshire remains the home of the first-in-nation Republican primary for many, many years to come.
Trump then traveled to South Carolina, where he held his first 2024 presidential campaign rally. I'm John Schaefer.
The Minnesota State Senate has passed legislation after contentious debate guaranteeing the right to abortion, a bill that pro-life Republicans have called the most extreme in the nation, Fox News reports. The Memphis police have deactivated the Scorpion unit in the wake of the Tyre Nichols death. Former FBI Deputy Andrew McCabe says on CNN the department needs to do more.
The entirety of that unit should be reviewed for the sorts of potential issues that Chief Ramsey and I have just been mentioning.
Five officers were fired and face murder charges. Two people are injured in a shooting in Jerusalem just a day after a gunman killed at least seven people near a synagogue. The pair injured are a father and son, with the suspect being a 13-year-old. Utah is banning gender-affirming care for minors. On Saturday, Republican Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill that disallows access to hormonal treatments and surgical procedures for anyone under 18. In the past few years, Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, and Tennessee have also approved measures to restrict gender-affirming care. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and enter promo code USA, or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Okay, welcome back. So, well, last week when we covered it was still mostly a local news story, although we knew it was going to explode into what it is now, which is the talk of the nation, du jour. International news story, actually. Certainly the biggest story in the country right now, and even one with international reverberations. Last week we had retired police officer Jim Lancia, our regular criminal justice correspondent on, and he hit it out of the park. I mean, the second hour of last week's show with regards to the Tyre Nichols, not just that specifically, but policing in diverse America in general, he was just an all-star. I mean, Keith, that was a standout interview.
I agree. Jim Lancia will hit the nail on the head and drive it straight, as I've said before, but. What's happening in Memphis, though, is
Between last Saturday and now, how would you describe the scene here on the ground to everybody outside of the city limits?
It is an effort to put a square peg in a round hole by the national media. Somehow they want to blame white people for the fact that Tyre Nichols was beaten by police and killed when all of the policemen involved were black. And they are the result of an intentional effort by the black community in Memphis to limit the jobs to black people who lived within the city of Memphis. They didn't want to get any of those pernicious honkies
in there.
They said that in uncertain terms.
They said, we want the police force to represent, to look like the people in the community, which is a 70% black city. So there you go. Regardless of who's the most qualified, we're going to, you know,
I've said this many times that, back in the days of segregation, black people didn't like being arrested by white policemen any more than they do today, but that's why the city of Memphis would hire patrolmen, black patrolmen, to patrol the black precincts.
Well,
but
Jim Lancia talked about that last week, how it was racist to have only black cops in black areas, so because of that, they put the white cops in the black areas, and now, of course, if a white cop does anything to a black suspect, it's racism and systemic racism, so you can't win.
Well, see, now they have gotten what they want. They have the black policemen policing black areas and white areas now, too.
Well, they started with that, then it went to whites, and then it went back to black, and now we have
and
this.
And see what it is. That now they've got, you know, be careful what you wish for, black people. Your dream may come true. They got that virtually all-black police force that they wanted, and guess what? It was black policemen that beat the stuffing out of
all five. Not even one was white. Not even one was Hispanic or mixed race.
No,
there was five blacks.
No, they got
on
they
one
got what
black.
They wanted, and I don't think Tyre really appreciated that change because, look, we knew this back in the days of segregation. Black officers are often brutal. They are often using excessive force. They are impulsive. And, you know, you could tell by listening to that tape, they were cursing. I mean, there were more curse words than non-curse words being said during this beating.
So this video, by the way,
shows that they were amped up and as, you know, emotionally overwrought as possible. And this is what we want to be the police in a major American
this
city.
This is the video. Now, we talked about it last week in general. A lot has happened since last week, including, not the least of which, has been the release of the body cam and the Sky Cop footage. So this area where the victim was beaten is obviously not a great neighborhood because they have a Sky Cop, which is a police-sanctioned video camera, up on the light poles because they expect crime in that particular
basically, you
sector.
Know, they're having that in a lot of places now.
Yeah, they got it at the mall, any mall in Memphis and anywhere else. But anyway, so Now all of the footage has been released, and it was like the big thing here last night. At 6 o'clock it got released, and it preempted all of the network programming on all of the local affiliates.
It was almost as if they were wanting there to be trouble.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to get to that in a moment, Keith. Sit tight on that. We are going to talk about that. But it preempted on all of the local stations, Fox, CBS, NBC, you name it. The local affiliates preempted regularly scheduled network programming to bring you the footage.
Not only them, CNN, MSNBC, well, see, the same thing.
They were covering it, but not as extensively as local affiliates. And so we got to see it all here if you were tuned in on a local Memphis station. And even in advance this week, the local law enforcement authorities were saying this was a racist incident. Well, what's racist about five black cops beating to death, beating a man who died 3 days later?
It was racial, but it was not interracial. And if it's not interracial, how are you going to blame white people for what happened to Tyre Nichols?
We'll get to that. They also said it was eerily similar to the Rodney King beating, except for the fact of one thing, all of the cops were black in this instance. We talked about it last week with
Rodney King survived and Tyre Nichols didn't.
Well, that's another one. Now, we talked about this extensively with Jim Lancia last week. We're not going to retread all of that ground, so go back to the archives, listen to Jim Lancia's second hour last week if you're interested in the story. Here now is the national media catching on to this. CNN headline reads, "The police who killed Tyre Nichols were black," with a capital B, of course, "but they were still driven by racism." Nick Griffin, our good friend, the former member of European Parliament, had the spot-on comment to that on his Twitter. He wrote, "Beyond satire, beyond belief, and beyond hope." This is where we're at. So they're still saying, even though that the narrative couldn't be fulfilled because, you know, they really, the powers that be in the media wanted white people to be involved with this so bad they could taste it. But when it didn't happen, it didn't deter them. It didn't deter them at all.
You know, it's almost comic now. It's like white people have these superpowers, and they can make black... We can channel black policemen and make them act like Bull Connor, apparently.
Well, this is it. So this is USA Today. In today's edition of the USA Today, the headline I read from CNN was yesterday. But in USA Today, today, the headline reads, "When the officers are black, Tyre Nichols' death raises tough questions." And then in the article...
Yeah, we heard so much about Bull Connor back in the civil rights movement. Bull Connor didn't do... One-tenth as much as that.
Well, let me say this, and I want to say it clear for anybody with ADL, SPLC, CNN, local news, I stand with Bull Connor. Bull Connor was right.
Bull Connor would be much more controlled and more assigned to his duties than these guys were. These guys were just beating the tar out of a guy.
Bull Connor was better than any of his detractors. Let me put it that way. But this USA Today article goes on.
Fire hoses and police dogs.
No, they were just beating him to death. Five police officers are black. Doesn't matter. And then it says experts say the race of the victim is more important than the race of the race of the officers is less important than the race of the victim. Now, when has that ever been said before?
So you put a uniform on a black man and he becomes
a white man. Yeah, because they say, and then here also from the, and it's absolute madness, The USA Today writes that an historically biased culture of policing puts black people at risk regardless of an officer's race. What they're saying, what they're arguing, is that systemic racism, so-called systemic racism, is so profound that the tentacles of it, the roots of it, actually infect blacks themselves, and blacks themselves become white supremacists when given authority. And I love what James Kirkpatrick at VDare writes. He's covering this too, and he writes, at a certain point, you know, how is this not satire? At a certain point, you have to get it through your skull that they aren't arguing in good faith, and they never were. And that's the truth.
Here, I'll break it down for you. Basically, they're saying that if you try to enforce laws like don't steal, don't kill, don't beat people up, that is white norms being forced on black people. So consequently, if you try to enforce the laws that have existed in America and other European nations, and really throughout all the world, for time in memoriam, then you are perpetuating white supremacy. And basically, you have no right to expect blacks to behave and obey the law.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. And so we'll continue this here in a moment after the break. But that's how the national media, undeterred, they want it so bad. Oh, so bad.
You should have seen Van Jones, and Don Lemon, and they had another guy. They looked like they had been sucking lemons. They were so peeved every time they ran that tape. And you heard these black voices, these black images.
You watched the national news coverage of it last night. I watched the local news coverage, which was much more comprehensive. So I saw a lot more of the footage.
It was all here, both places. All I know is that when I saw CNN, it was in Memphis in front of 201 Poplar, the Criminal Justice Center, completely. They didn't go off anywhere else. And I'm sure that, you know, you couldn't be more focused on Memphis than, look, all of the news media throughout America and probably internationally. This was the number one story in the world last night, I dare say.
No, I agree. And we're going to tell you what happened in Memphis last night as a result of all of this media provocation and baiting.
They were hoping that it would burn the city down.
Boy, they wanted it. They were so upset when whites weren't involved in this, but it didn't deter the narrative. It didn't deter the narrative. It's still white supremacy. I love what Lana Locked, if our friend Lana at Red Eyes, she writes, even if no white people existed, they'd still blame us. We'll be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the situation in Memphis, which is local to us, but national and international news to everyone else. The situation with this 29-year-old black male. We covered it extensively last week in the second hour with retired police officer Jim Lancia. Listen to that. This is the follow-up to that. 29-year-old black male Tyree Nichols, beaten savagely by 5 black police officers. He died 3 days later.
And I defy you to show me any of this footage from the sainted civil rights movement showing Bull Connor or anyone else beating a black person with the ferocity and the brutality that you saw in that Memphis clip.
Never happened, and he died 3 days later after the beating, and then the rest you know about. Well, to me, this was another example of black-on-black crime. I mean, your black lives don't matter if it's a black-on-black homicide or murder in Chicago between gangbangers or whatever. They only matter if it's, you know, a white involved. And even with the absence of white involvement in this one, they're still blaming it on white supremacy. So help me God, read the headlines. Go to my Twitter at James Edwards TPC. You can follow it. So that's the thing, this blood libel against whites. I love, again, what our friend James Kirkpatrick over at VDare wrote, that you have to get it through your skull that they aren't arguing in good faith, and they never were. And if you try to live your life and govern your society according to their fake standards, it will drive you insane. You cannot do it. But white supremacy was trending on Twitter this morning. You know, as we broadcast live tonight on Saturday evening, earlier today, white supremacy was trending, and it was as a result of this incident with the five black police officers and the black suspect, now victim. And as Lana Lochtiff, our friend over at Red Ice, Lana wrote, she retweeted my comment on it about that, and I wrote word for word, white supremacy in quotations is trending because five black cops beat an unarmed black man to death, and she retweeted that with the comment, even if no white people existed, they would still blame us. And that's the truth, Keith.
It is. It's like we have some type of weird spiritual power. You know, that the left and the woke people like all these superheroes and all these fantastic pipe dreams like Wakanda and whatnot. Well, they apparently cannot distinguish the truth from fiction anymore. And they are blaming white people. The unmitigated gall of this, there's not a white person to be found in a frame of that film that was shown on, you know, every local station, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, all of these groups. None anywhere. But somehow white people are to blame. And, you know, it's time for us all to claim, to call BS on all of this. It's not, you know, it's not fair. It's not right. You look at this in comparison to, let's say, the Selma Bridge incident where poor John Lewis got mowed down, supposedly. Look at that. Look at the restraint and look at the lack of screaming and hollering and cursing, and compare that to what happened to Tyree Nichol at the hands of five black patrolmen in or police officers in Memphis. Part of an elite Scorpion unit, nonetheless.
Which got disbanded, by the way, tonight, whatever that was.
But, you know, look, like Grandma said, you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. You can put a police uniform on them, but they still look like a street gang and a bunch of thugs to me.
All right, so here's the thing about that. I watched all of the footage. I don't know, people following it from outside of town, what they could have seen and what they've been able to find on the internet, but the local news was pretty much playing everything. And so you see the first encounter where the original officers who pulled over Tyree Nichols, they pull him over, and supposedly, allegedly, for reckless driving, and they tell him, the video begins with him being pulled out of the car, and they tell him to lay on his stomach. And he does everything but that. He does everything but that. He lays on his side. He jaws. He asks questions. He does everything but comply with what they're asking for. So they get physical. And he asks, why are you doing this? And so on and so forth. And there's a scuffle. And then he gets loose. And he starts running. And this is another thing. You know, we talked last week with retired police officer Jim Lancey about the fact that Memphis is hiring pretty much, you know, you got to be black to be on the force. That's not the policy, but that's the de facto policy. And a lot of white cops made an exodus in the last few years.
They don't want to be the next Derek Chauvin.
That's right. And so we talked to Jim about this, but so and he talked about the fact that they're high, you know, these are diversity and affirmative action hires. They're not the most qualified applicants at the police academy. And so they hire these guys, all of these guys that were involved in this incident had been on the force just 2 to 5 years respectively, none longer than 5-year veterans. And many, you know, a lot of them were out of shape. And so one of the original officers is trying to chase this guy. He's 6'4", fit, slim.
145 pounds.
140 pounds. He's running like a jackrabbit. Tyree Nichols is. And this overweight, out of shape cop chases him from about here to the mailbox here at the station. And he's out of breath. And you can hear him huffing and puffing. He calls him backup. So the backup comes. And he says, you know, we got a slim black male wearing a hoodie going in this direction. You can see on the footage. And then the backup comes. And then when the footage resumes, it's the original officers, I believe, along with the backup, and they're all with this guy. So it's five officers, and they're beating him, and they're beating him savagely. Now, I am all for this. Let me tell you this. It doesn't give me any comfort to know that Tyree Nichols was beaten to death. I think it's a terrible thing, and I wish it hadn't happened so we wouldn't have to be having this conversation.
I don't think he deserved it.
No, he didn't deserve it. It didn't appear. But I want all the evidence to come out. This is why we don't have lynch mobs. This is why we don't try cases in the court of public opinion on social media. The video footage that I've seen makes the cops look pretty bad. You know, but were they diversity hires who couldn't properly detain and subdue a suspect and get him under control? Did they beat him so savagely because they were mad? Because he ran? There was one incident where one of the officers were trying to pepper spray the victim, and he pepper sprayed one of his comrades, and where they mad about all of that, and they just started going
nuts
on him. I mean, what's going on here? Did their nature overcome whatever training they had? I mean, what's happening?
They were cursing like nobody's business. Here's what I say. Look,
I bet a lot of GIs did that too. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
as much
but well,
as.
The thing is, look, they were out of control. There was brutality involved. Compare that tape of what happened to Tyree Nichol with what happened to John Lewis at the Selma Bridge, which is so famous, and it was such a egregious example of white police brutality. I guarantee it doesn't hold a candle to what happened to Tyree Nichol.
On the Edmund Pettus Bridge last summer, I was actually invited down to give a speech in Selma. Big crowd, great speech, you know, really a great career moment. I enjoyed that very much. It's a standout moment even after almost 20 years on the radio. But I stood on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and I said, you know what, if I was here when it happened, I would have stood with Bull Connor. There's no doubt about it. But in the event, the media latched onto this so much. They had the narrative ready to go, and once it came out that all the cops were black, well, the narrative be damned, they're going to continue with the narrative anyway. The facts be damned, rather, they're going to continue with the narrative
anyway. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe what Don Lemon and CNN
tell you. They're saying that white supremacy is so systemic that even black cops could be white supremacists. That's the diversity of white supremacy.
It's more infectious than COVID.
Well, they were really ramping up riots, so all of the schools in Memphis shut down yesterday in anticipation of racial unrest. A lot of businesses from Joe's.
You could tell they were hoping and praying there would be a massive conflagration here in Memphis.
They were, and businesses of assorted professional order were shutting down early. People told not to come into the office. So is that racist? Is that racist to believe the blacks are going to riot and burn down your city at even the flimsiest of pretenses? You know, that's more racist than anything I've ever said. I've only told you the truth here. But we went to a Waffle House today. My wife and I and our three children, we were at Waffle House, majority black. We live in Memphis. You know, that's the thing. I'm a white supremacist neo-Nazi, but I'm not a anti-white.
You get along wonderfully with black people.
I'm not an anti-white racist bigot like all of these blacks are. In the news anyway, but yeah, anybody that knows, if you've lived in Memphis, you've lived in a majority black city your entire life, so you've interacted with blacks on a daily basis. So we go in, it's majority black. I mean, that's just another day at the office. I don't have a problem with that. We have a black waitress. She says, oh, what a beautiful family you have. And we get along famously, Keith. I mean, you see this every day. Every day, you know.
The only time we have trouble is when there is a third party agent provocateur from outside of the area.
That's it.
In the first Reconstruction, it was Yankee abolitionists. In the second Reconstruction, the Civil Rights Movement, it was Jewish freedom riders.
Okay, and so this black woman comes up. She compliments my family. I compliment her. We have a great exchange. She says, I hope y'all don't get out tonight. It's going to, you know, these people are crazy. And then I start to talk about it with her. She says, you know what? I'm going to be in my house with my pal. And she's talking about her gun. She says, if they come up to my house And she's this black woman with dreadlocks, you know, middle age. We got along great. I don't say that to try to, you know, put the shine on anybody. It's just if you live in Memphis, you interact with blacks on a daily basis. Individually, you get along. It doesn't individually, you can get along. It doesn't change the fact that there are racial realities that exist as a group that we talk about here. But individually, we get along. But the media wanted riots and unrest last night, and they did shut down the Interstate 55 bridge. Now, that is a felony. That is felony behavior. You cannot shut down interstate commerce. If you're
well,
coming
it's the
in,
second
if you're
time it's happened in Memphis. I had it on the Interstate 40 bridge before. Wouldn't it be nice if we had spokespeople for these so-called responsible news networks like CNN that had as much common sense and so much and a sense of restraint like the average black citizen in Memphis does?
And again, we're not trying to, you know, put it between the lines tonight, but if you live around blacks, you know, individually, it doesn't change the group reality of violence and IQ and all of that. But individually, you can get along with them fine. This thing, they shut down interstate commerce again last night. That's a felony. Every single one of them should have been arrested. If you're coming in from Arkansas, the nearest trauma center, the nearest hospital to deliver your baby, if you're in Arkansas, it's Memphis. You got to get there, but you can't get there because there's a couple of hundred Black Lives Matter and Antifa's blocking the bridge. What are they protesting? All of these cops were arrested almost immediately and charged with murder. What are they protesting? You go to hell.
Look, go to hell. Chronic malcontents are driving the narrative on the left, not ordinary people.
All right, that's it. That's it. And that's it. And that's all we've got. We got to come back with a first-time guest. He's coming up next. Stay tuned, everybody. God bless you, Memphis. You were a good city at one point.